All right, good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see everyone this evening. Hope everyone's doing well and had a good weekend or a good week. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here and really find it a joy and a privilege to guide us in the scriptures, and I'm excited about the things we're going to dive into tonight. Mark shared a little bit about the prayer gathering we had this week, and I know for me that was kind of the highlight of the week. I was driving some of my kids around to I'm in the season of life where my kids are in all kinds of different activities, and I got there late, and it was such an incredible joy to walk in and see many of you there praying over these college students and the leaders and things like that. So that was definitely my highlight. Well, guys, a few months ago, I heard a story about a 65-year-old woman, and she wanted to start an exercise program. And so she approached her family and said, I am going to walk 5 miles a day every day for the rest of my life. And her family said, Grandma, like, that seems a little bit ambitious. Why don't you start with 1 mile a day or 2 miles a day, and you can kind of work your way up. And she was determined. She's like, no, I'm going to walk 5 miles a day every day for the rest of my life. She is 82 years old now, and her family does not have a clue where she is. Well, guys, tonight we're going to be continuing our series on seasons, and today is actually the end of this series, and we're going to be looking at what it looks like to be in a season of intentionality. So this woman, this 65-year-old woman, we have no idea what inspired her to want to walk 5 miles a day every day for the rest of her life, but she had some kind of vision in her mind that she would cling to, and she set up an action steps in order to achieve that, and she pushed through it even in the midst of opposition as her family tried to talk her out of it. The word intentional simply means done on purpose or deliberate. So when I say to be in a season of intentionality, it means that you're in a place where you are positioning yourself and putting forward specific, particular, deliberate actions in order to deepen your relationship with God and to intentionally live your life on mission. That's what it means to be in a season of intentionality. Let's pray and we're going to dive in. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time and this space to gather together as your people. We've just declared the truth and the reality that you love us. Oh, how you love us. I'm reminded of the scripture that says that you demonstrated your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. And together we gather as your people who identify you as our Savior, or maybe we're in this space and we're just investigating what we think life is about and investigating who this Jesus guy is. And I pray that tonight, if there's someone present today that's investigating that you would open their eyes and open their heart to see you for who you are. And for those of us that identify as your people, may you speak to us in this time. May your Holy Spirit touch on into our lives and to speak something to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What's something in your life that you have been intentional about? Now, no offense to any of the vegetarians or vegans in the room. I love your food too, but I love a nice piece of meat. And this last weekend, I went elk hunting, and what I wanted to achieve was to be able to sit at my dining room table or on my back porch, and I wanted the joy of savoring the flavor of a well-earned, organically harvested, beautifully grilled piece of backstrap. And in order to achieve that vision I had in my mind, I spent a bunch of time like gathering and digging through all of my gear and sorting things out and making sure I was going to be warm enough and dry enough and fed enough. And I went to the store and I bought food and I bought fuel and I bought batteries. And then I filled up my truck with gas and I drove 4 hours south all the way past Dillon. And then Tom came with me and we set up the tent in the wind. And then all night long it just rained and rained and rained and rained and rained, which we weren't planning on. And then the next day we walked in the rain and then we walked in the snow. And then the next day I was knee deep tromping through the snow, and then I came back and I packed everything up and I drove all the way home in the middle of the night, and then I had all this wet stuff that I had to dry. all because I had this vision of savoring this choice piece of meat. You see, I was intentional through and through because I had a vision in my mind of what I was seeking to achieve. So that's the first point I want to make tonight, is that intentionality starts with a picture in your mind of a future reality. It's a critical component. So if you don't have a picture in your mind, then you're just kind of wandering. You don't know whether to go left or whether to go right, or if there's opposition. You know, that story I just told you, it would have been a lot easier for me to drive down the street to Albertsons and have just bought a steak in the meat department and gone home and cooked it. So I want to ask you tonight, what is the point of life? What is the point of life? Now, that's a deep philosophical question, right? I mean, people have been pondering it for generations and generations. What is the point of life? It's a really important question, because how you answer that question will dictate how you live your life. Regardless of whether you intentionally think about what the purpose of life is, you are living as some expression of what, however you answer that question. Well, a long time ago, if you were with us, maybe a year and a half ago or something like that, I introduced that most people live life falling into one of three categories: survival, success, or significance. A lot of people live their life where they think that the point of life is just survival, right? I work to pay the bills. I scavenge just enough to feed the kids. I pinch and I save enough so that I'm not cold and I'm not naked. Just trying to make it by. If we think about in the Christian realm, many people live with a survival mentality. It's this idea that I'm just trying to hang on until I get to heaven. Gosh, this world is crazy out there, and man, I just need to hang on until I get to heaven. It's a survival mentality. The second mentality is a success mentality, and this is highlighted in our culture and our world, right? Success is highlighted as what we should live for, and it's the point of life. It's interesting, not too long ago, I had a friend ask me, he was going on a backpacking trip a couple weeks ago in Idaho, and he was going to be way up high in the mountains. And he said, "Chris, do you think my sleeping bag is going to be warm enough for this trip?" I said, "Well, what elevation are you going to be at? What's the temperature? And then mostly, what kind of sleeping bag do you have? And then are you just looking to survive, or actually are you looking to be comfortable?" He said, "Oh, I bought a zero-degree sleeping bag." I said, "Oh, you should probably be warm enough then." I said, "Well, why don't you go ahead and send me the link to your sleeping bag so I can just kind of look at it and see if what the stats are and stuff on it?" And he did, and sure enough, he'd bought a zero-degree sleeping bag, but when I looked down at the fine print, this bag was designed to allow you to survive at 0 degrees. But the comfort rating for the sleeping bag was 34. So I said, "Hey, bud, I don't think you're going to be warm enough. You should borrow mine for this trip." So someone who's living in a success mentality is saying something like, "I don't want to just survive. I want to be comfortable. I don't want just survival, I want security. I don't just want transportation, I want a vehicle that's reliable and maybe has a couple cool gadgets and some sweet rims as well. I don't just want a job, I want a career, and I want an income that will support all my hobbies and my pleasures and all the things that I would rather be doing than working." That's a success-based mentality. Well, both of those mentalities, survival and success, are very self-focused. And our third option is to have a significance mentality. And that's where we're focused on life impact. That's where, instead of being earthly focused, we are eternity focused. Instead of being self-focused, we are Christ-focused and others-focused, if we want to live with significance. So what is the point of life? As I said, how we define this will have a tremendous impact on the way that we live. And there's a variety of different people that have answered this question with some different ways, and I want to share some of those with you. Perhaps you've heard this before, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's a saying that's been passed down for many, many generations. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. If you were to think and believe this way, how would it change the way that you live? If you really thought that the point of my life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him, how would it affect the things that you think about? The way that you spend your time, the way that you spend your money, what you're willing to view on your phone or on a tablet or on your computer or on TV. If you really thought that my primary key goal, the chief end, my primary purpose as a human is to glorify God and enjoy Him. This is supported in Scripture in various ways. I've always loved 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, to delight yourself in the Lord. The second component of that phrase, right, was that the chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Did you know that we're not supposed to just follow God out of obligation? It's supposed to be something that we delight in, that He wired us, that when we are in line with God's ways, that joy results. Is it all always easy? No, it's not. But the Scripture says delight. It's a command. Delight yourself in the Lord. And that Scripture goes on to say, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Ephesians chapter 1, those of you guys that were with us through the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, over and over and over again, it says, to the praise of His glory, you were saved, you were chosen, you were redeemed, you became His son or His daughter to the praise of His glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says that we were created for His glory. And when we get to the end of the Bible and the book of Revelation, when it all kind of comes together, we exalt the Lamb of God who took on the sin of the world. And we praise and exalt the risen King who reigns over all. Well, if you're anything like me, when you hear the phrase glorify God, if you've been in and out of the church at any point in your life, you've probably heard that, and I have been for quite a while. When I hear the phrase glorify God, I often have to stop and be like, what does that mean again? What does that mean again, to glorify God? I'd like to dumb it down for you and say it basically means to point to God. It means to acknowledge Him. It means to praise Him. It means to give Him credit for everything good in your life and in our world that we get to partake in. And we live in an amazing place that is so beautiful. We get to glorify God and say it's Him. About a month ago, a guy came by my house to buy one of my daughter's bikes. And recently, when people tend to come by my house to buy things, they oftentimes hang out and talk for a long time. They find a place to sit down, and so, you know, this full-grown man's like sitting on my daughter's bike, you know, and we're just chatting for probably 30 minutes until his wife, I didn't even know she was in the truck, she pokes her head out of the truck, she's like, Francis, we've got somewhere to go. At some point in the process of this conversation with this guy, Francis, it had just come up, and he goes, Chris, anytime someone says something good about me, I just look at him and say, that's God. That's God that you see. There's nothing in me that's good. It's God. Francis glorifies God. He points to God. So guys, if intentionality starts with a picture in our mind of a future reality, the second component of intentionality is that is fueled by a purpose. Intentionality starts with a picture, but it's fueled by a purpose that helps us and motivates us and sustains us to push through even in the midst of hardship, difficulty, opposition, confusion. I have no idea what I'm doing. This doesn't make sense. God, I don't know how you're going to show up in this situation. The purpose and the vision enables us to push through even in the midst of that. Artist Charlie Hall, he's one of my former, I still like him, but you know, back in the day, he was one of my favorite kind of worship artists at the time. And many years ago, at the beginning of the 2000s, he wrote a song called One Thing. And One Thing is based on Psalm 27, and I think we're going to sing it at the end of the service tonight, but it's just really simple. He just says, simple-minded, oh, wholehearted, one thing I ask, that I may gaze upon your beauty, O God, that I may seek your holy face, that I may know you in an intimate way and follow after you all of my days. And at the end of the song, he kind of launches into this bridge or this statement where he just says, all of life comes down to just one thing. That's to know you, O Jesus, and to make you known. All of life comes down to just one thing. That's to know you, O Jesus, and to make you known. You see, each one of us in this room have a unique purpose. We grew up in a particular situation with a particular family, with a particular worldview in a particular country, particular state. We have a particular personality. We have specific gifts and abilities. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit who gave you spiritual gifts. So you have a unique purpose in this life, but we all have one common purpose. We all have one common mission. Do you know what it is? Do you know what your mission is? It's often referred to as the Great Commission. This comes from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has lived, he's died, he's risen from the grave, and he spent 40 days with his friends and his companions, his disciples, and here at the very end, he's standing on a mountain, and he's surrounded by over 500 people. And he says to them, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. Oh, and you can be promised that I will be with you to the end of the age. So our common purpose, our common mission is to make disciples of all nations. That's your purpose, that's your purpose, that's your purpose, and that's my purpose. We might pursue it in different ways, but it's our common purpose. The third common phrase, before we dive into some practical tips of intentional living, that many people say is they say that all of life comes down to loving God and loving people. You heard that before? Jesus said it. It's a pretty good statement. So here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So when we draw these three elements together, I personally think we get a pretty beautiful picture about what life is about. That we were designed to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That all of life comes down to knowing Jesus and to making Him known. And that if I made my life about loving God with everything that I am and everything that I had, and I sought to love others the way that I love myself, that, man, a lot would fall in place. You see, if we don't have a picture or a vision in our mind of what we're living for, as I said before, we're just going to kind of wander at best, or we fall into these categories of just survival. Just trying to make it through the day, make it through the week, make it through the month, or success. How do I build my own kingdom? How do I store up pleasure and treasures for myself? Well, this isn't a comprehensive list, but I'd like to spend the rest of our time looking at five different areas of intentionality. The first area of intentionality that I want to encourage us in is that we should really be intentional about what we worship. I found this quote just about 2 weeks ago from Ralph Waldo Emerson that I was thought was pretty fascinating. I can't remember the exact time period that Emerson lived, but famous poet. You've heard his name before, read him in, you know, high school or college literature. But he says, a person will worship something, have no doubt about that. We may think that our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our heart, but it will out. It's not a typo, it's just the way they talked back then. Check out these last two sentences. That which dominates our imagination and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us. Everybody like that word, behooves us? It behooves us to be careful what we worship. For what we are worshiping, we are becoming. That's deep. I know that pierces me pretty hard. What are the predominant thoughts that are in my mind that are determining my life and shaping my character? So how do we know what we worship? It's a powerful statement by Emerson, but how do we really know what we worship? We know it by what we think about. When your mind is just free to wonder, what is it that you gravitate towards thinking of, dreaming of, getting excited about, or maybe being overwhelmed by worry by? It's an indicator of what you worship. What is it when you talk with someone that the tone of your voice just kind of picks up in excitement about? Could be football, could be hunting, could be baking, could be knitting, could be the latest recipe that you cooked. And it's great to get excited about those things. I love hearing excitement in people's voices. But what we get excited about are things that we worship. We can tell what we worship by how we spend our time. Looking at our bank account and seeing where our money's going. Jesus in John chapter 4 said that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for these are the type of worshipers the Father is seeking. The Father is seeking after worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to be intentional about what we worship. We need to be intentional with our growth. Author Dallas Willard says, nobody drifts into discipleship. You see, discipleship is apprenticeship to the ways and the teachings of Jesus. It's learning to live and to love like Jesus did. That's what discipleship is. It's the apprenticeship process of learning to be shaped and formed to become more like our master. It's really hard to be intentional about the mission that we all have, remember, of making disciples of all nations if we ourselves are not committed to the discipleship process. And as I said at the beginning, to be in a season of intentionality means that I'm positioning myself and I'm putting forward specific, deliberate, particular actions in order to deepen my relationship with God and grow and equip myself to live my life on mission. So how are you being intentional with your growth right now? I love that we're all together in this room. That's a symbol, it's an expression of your intentionality to grow, and it is wonderful that we are here together for this hour to grow together. But I promise you that you would not want to be around me if I only ate food once a week. You can talk to Sasha at 10:30 a.m. You don't want to be around with me if I don't have an early lunch. My blood sugar is a go drop so quick that I have to have food to sustain me. And in the same way, I can't expect to sustain my life on a once-a-week meal spiritually. I can't expect to sustain it, and I definitely can't expect for it to grow and to be nourished and to get stronger and more resilient. There's no way. Better than nothing, but it's not going to help us to move forward. Psalm chapter 1 talks about that blessed is the man or the woman who meditates on God's word day and night. They position themselves next to the stream of God's life-giving presence in his words so that they can be nourished to produce fruit in season and out of season. Read Psalm 1. It's beautiful. I love the way Jeremiah says this in 15, verse 16. He says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." You might remember that Jesus himself said once that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So guys, we can't be wasting our life and our potential away in complacency and malnourishment. If we want to grow, if we want to experience and delight in God and get the joy of glorifying him and seeing him use our lives to impact others and to make a difference in this world, to live a life of significance, then we have to feed ourselves. We have to be intentional about our growth. Third area we need to be intentional with is with our relationships. There's no way I can even scratch the surface of this one, but there's four primary areas or arenas of relationship where we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional with our families. Those of us in the room that have children, God has entrusted to us an incredible responsibility while they're with us to train and to raise them to know and love and follow God. And I'm in a place where I've had the little kids, and now my kids are in their mid-season, and you know, in the early years, people tell me, "Oh, it goes so fast," and I'd be like, "Oh, well, I don't. 18 years seems like a long time, and it doesn't go that fast, you know. Man, some days feel like decades, you know." But now I'm in the phase where my kids, you know, I don't have that much longer. I can see the end coming. And it's so critical that I'm intentional, and it's not easy. It's hard. It's really hard. But I need to be intentional with my family. If you are married, as a husband, we've been given instructions that we are to love and shepherd and lead our wives. And wives, we've been given instructions and towards our husbands and towards our kids. And there's instructions in the scriptures on how kids are to honor and treat their parents and how grandparents are to treat their grandkids and their children. And there's all these instructions about family relationships, and we have to be intentional about them because many of us have experienced that time goes by fast and then all of a sudden they're gone. Maybe they leave for college. Maybe they move away for a job. Maybe there's a tragic accident and we lose someone that we love. We need to learn to number our days. We need to be intentional in our friendships. We are surrounded by people in this room and outside of this room that need encouragement. Who here likes to be encouraged? I sure do. Man, we need to be intentional in our relationships to encourage and love on people and help them to reach their potential, to speak truth and hope and life into them. We need to be intentional with our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends and random people we meet in gospel relationships, seeking opportunities to share the good news that God has entrusted with us, entrusted to us. And then that fourth area is that we need to be intentional in discipleship. Again, if this is our common mission to make disciples of all nations, every one of us, if we identify as a follower of Jesus, should have someone in our life that we're saying, "Hey man, I don't know that much, but I know just a little bit. Why don't you come along with me?" You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know the Bible and know have any kind of credentials other than the fact that I know who the Savior is, and I know how to position ourselves to move and to walk forward. All of us should have intentional relationships with people that we're helping bring along in the journey with Jesus. Fourth area, we need to be intentional with our prayers. What are you asking for in your prayers right now? How are you asking God to move and to work in your life? How are you asking God to shape your kids or your spouse or that coworker or that neighbor or that friend? How are you being intentional in your prayers to ask that God would move in big ways in our church and in our city? And how are you also being intentional to position yourself not just to speak, but to listen and to just connect with the Holy Spirit, to connect with the power of God, to allow Him to guide and direct your steps. I've shared with you guys before that one of my longstanding prayers is a prayer that I call the Triple W. And that's a prayer that I prayed for many, many years where I just say, God, wherever you want me, whenever that is, for whatever you want me to do, my answer's yes. It's a prayer I pray on various consistencies at various times, but have prayed pretty consistent for a long time. God, use me. Whenever you want to call me somewhere new, wherever that is, for whatever you want me to do, my answer is yes. Jeremiah prayed a similar prayer in Jeremiah 10:23. He says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. You see, intentionality is now centered and it's future oriented. Intentionality has to be both. It can't just be future-oriented because all of a sudden the future's there, and many of us had said, oh, as soon as this is done in a month's time, I'm going to finish up this job and then I'm going to have more time, or I'm in school and I've got a really busy week, I've got, you know, some tests coming up, or man, like there's all this stuff happening with my kids right now, so as soon as soccer's over or baseball's over or football's over or band season or drama, as soon as that's done, then I'll do it. So intentionality has to be now-centered while also being future-oriented. We have to have that vision that we're moving towards and that purpose that's sustaining us as we move forward. John Mark Comer says this. I think this is interesting. He says, we often vowed to give God our future with great pomp and heroic virtue, but the future is easy to give to God for the simple fact that we don't have it. All we have is the present, the here and now, this moment, this pain, this joy, this gratitude, this surrender. Because I think it's important that we surrender to God our future, but I think it's really important that we seek to posture ourselves to be obedient in the present. It's easy to give God things that we don't even know in the future. It's when it comes close and it's now that we need to surrender to God our day, our moment, our thought. Our last area of intentionality is that we need to be intentional in our purpose. I personally am someone who believes that God has a particular, specific plan for my life. I believe that I was born in a specific place, grew up in a specific family, that I have had particular jobs, that I have particular passions and interests, that the Holy Spirit has given me particular spiritual gifts, and that all of that, as I walk through my journey, is for the purpose that God has for my life. And so I'm often kind of ruminating or thinking about, like, how did this experience help equip me for this experience? And how is this experience right now beginning to shape me for whatever is to come? I always try to kind of hold that in open hands and in attention, a healthy tension. So as a result of my belief that I have a specific purpose, I'm pretty intentional on trying to develop my gifts and my skills. I was talking to someone about this earlier this week that, you know, I don't want to just be kind of okay at something. I want to actually learn to kind of excel at it, to grow in it, to invest in the things that God has placed in my life so that I can improve on it. So how are you using your gifts and your abilities to bless and to serve others? How are you using the things that God has placed in you and in your life to glorify Him? This coming weekend, we have our Trailhead Retreat, and that's a great opportunity to better discover how God has shaped you, how He's wired you, how He's given you a purpose for a particular intention. If you haven't signed up for that and you're interested, we'll probably have some more information after the service. Well, guys, intentionality has been a very important part of my life for a pretty long time. I would say intentionality is probably one of my top core values. I'm always seeking to be useful with my time, to invest in particular areas, to try to grow and to improve my skills. It's just something that I've always been really passionate about. And in prayer, as I mentioned, I'm often asking God, how does he want to use me? How does he want to direct me? For the last number of months, I've been sensing that God was kind of just awakening something in me, that a shift was coming. And I didn't really know what that was. I didn't really know what it was going to look like. I didn't know when it was, but I began to just pray, God, like, where do you want me? When do you want me? What do you want me? Where should I be? How should I position myself? And in this point in my life where, as I mentioned, I've got three kids who are growing up, and I see the end of the horizon coming and all of this kind of stuff that I'm trying to hold and balance and be faithful and responsible with. And I've sensed for a little while that, you know, the cliff edge was kind of coming, and I just, you know, sometimes I would take a big step and sometimes I'd take a little step, and sometimes I'd take a step back or two and just listen to God and ask, what is it? Where is it? So I'm both sad and excited to announce to you guys tonight that at the end of this calendar year, I'm actually going to be transitioning out of my current role as an associate pastor here at Explore. And as I've shared kind of through this process of intentionality, I've just really been asking God what it is that he would have me to step into. So I'm actually going to be transitioning out of my current role as an assistant pastor, and I'm going to be stepping into a new and a different pastoral role through Multiply Northwest, which is kind of like a ministry development outlet of Explore Church, where I'm going to be stepping into a new role as what I'm calling a Great Commission pastor. When I was 20 years old, back in college, my town had a local church that hosted kind of a missions awareness, missions education course that I went through. And in that course, I discovered kind of my calling to ministry. I would not be standing here in front of all of you guys had I not taken that course. And recently, there's kind of emerged the opportunity for me to be able to launch a similar course in Missoula that would serve all the churches of the city. And so as I've shared that, you know, our common mission is to make disciples of all nations, that's something that we are doing together, but now I'm going to be stepping into a new pastoral role, doing that in a different kind of way. And that has been a very difficult decision as I've prayed through that, mainly because I love every one of you. The last 2.5 years have been a wonderful time to be present and to grow with our church, and I believe in the vision and the mission of this church, and am very excited about where God is leading this community to continue to make a difference in this city. And I have no intention to be a stranger, but I'm definitely going to be having a different role and having some different focuses kind of moving forward. So, worship team, you guys can come on up. As I said at the beginning, intentionality starts with a vision, and it's fueled and it's sustained by a purpose. You see, you and I were each created to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We've been given this mission or this life purpose to know Jesus and to make him known. Jesus told us that everything that he's told us to do and to be boils down to these two things of loving God with everything that we are and loving people. So together we share this common vision, this common mission to make disciples of all nations, to share the good news that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and that he offers us new life and transformation as we place our faith in him. And sometimes this is scary when we sense God calling us and asking us to step into something new, because we don't know. I feel like right now I've jumped off the cliff and my parachute hasn't launched yet. I'm just kind of free-flowing. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know how it's all going to come together, but I know that God is faithful and that he will be faithful to me and to all of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the vision that you've given us of the purpose of life, to glorify you, to enjoy you, to delight in you, to be able to be ambassadors of you, to be able to be carriers of this message of hope and life and truth to our community. And we thank you that you invite us into that process, that we can have the option to be able to live a life of significance rather than just falling into survival or success. So pray that as this church moves forward, God, that you would continue to lead it, to bless it, to expand its influence in this city in a significant way. In Jesus' name, amen.